An invasive plant that's now common in Pennsylvania is pretty, but potentially dangerous. To avoid poison hemlock, you have to know what to look for.
It's got a parsley, almost fern-like foliage to it. It will get a series of white flowers in its second year that kind of rosette off of the top stem.
That's Chris Kubiak, Director of Education at the Audubon Society of Western Pennsylvania. He says poison hemlock was brought to North America as an ornamental. It's not the eastern hemlock tree, and it's often confused with another harmless plant in the same family, wild carrot or Queen Anne's lace. But there are key differences. First, poison hemlock will have multiple flowers, while Queen Anne's lace has one.
Queen Anne's lace will also, on the stems themselves, have a bunch of hairs, which the poison hemlock does not.
And Queen Anne's lace will have a little purple flower in its center. Poison hemlock is biennial. In its first year, plants are just ankle high. In the second, they can shoot up to 8 feet tall. It starts to flower in May and June, and by now, mid-July, begins to set its seeds. That's another difference from Queen Anne's lace, which begins flowering later.
There will be an overlap here in July between the two, but I have found Queen Anne's lace flowering all the way into October, which you are definitely not going to get with your poison hemlock.
It's poisonous at any stage of its life cycle, as are all parts of the plant. Ingesting even small amounts of it can be fatal.
Really, it's the root and the seeds themselves that contain the most of this poison alkaloid.
People who forage for wild parsnip root should be especially careful, since the roots look a lot alike. Kids are also at risk, since they tend to put things in their mouths. When it comes to casual contact with the plant, Kubiak says they recommend people treat poison hemlock plants like poison ivy. If your skin comes into contact with it, wash thoroughly, because it can cause a rash for some.
It does often get confused with a close relative, giant hogweed, which can, when you get some of the sap from giant hogweed on, you get a type of burn from the sun, which would concern me more.
I asked him, are there more poison hemlock plants now, or do we just notice them more?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, one poison hemlock plant can produce 30,000 seeds alone. They have a very high germination rate.
Kubiak says poison hemlock plants are most commonly found in urban and suburban areas on roadsides, mowed edges, and along fences. In rural areas, they also grow along power line right-of-ways and can be a danger to cattle beside fields.
One of their keys to their success is the fact that they're able to exploit areas that are disturbed, and they're known as pioneer species. So they're some of the first that will emerge, and they outcompete pretty much everything else.
That includes milkweed species, which are important to the success of monarch butterflies. Poison hemlock seeds aren't scattered by the wind, but are often spread by water, since the plants really like moist, wet soils. Runoff after heavy rain, tractor tires, or our shoes can also disperse the seeds.
It's just able to really, really move in ways, often because of humans altering a particular area.
Poison hemlock doesn't have any enemies in the wild either. Deer won't touch it.
It is a fascinating plant in how it has produced chemical warfare to stop things from eating it.
And its smell should keep people away, too. Kubiak says it's been described in literature as similar to mouse urine. Audubon is managing poison hemlock at two of their properties where the public comes to enjoy nature. If you have it in your own yard, they recommend wearing gloves and a long-sleeved shirt and pulling it out in its second year before its seeds fall. Be sure to get the entire root and place the whole plant into a trash bag for disposal. Seek immediate medical attention if you suspect poison hemlock has been ingested. You can see photos of the plant at AlleghenyFront.org. There you can also find all of our stories in our Wild PA series about conservation and wildlife. That's AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.